This is Biz. I'm a part-time working mom with a preschooler and a full-blown kid.
And I'm Teresa. I have a family business, two kids under six, and a baby on the way.
This is a show about life after giving life. Don't listen with your kids, because there will be swears. This is One Bad Mother. This week on One Bad Mother, we're walking in a winter wonderland of horrors. Plus, Biz pulls the plug on swimming, Teresa is still pregnant, and we talked to Jenny Jekyll about her graphic novel, Spot 12, 5 months in the neonatal ICU.
Woo!
I know the woo is a tradition.
To woo after that.
Woo is a tradition.
Really inappropriate.
We can never remove the woo, but there are sometimes the like gravity of our guest does not necessarily match with the woo.
No, that was weird.
Or maybe it does. Maybe it's just a nod to eh.
Yeah, I guess. It was a little disturbing.
It was a little disturbing.
It was a little disturbing, but that's okay. Here we are.
Here we are. How are you, Teresa?
I'm good. I'm still pregnant.
You are. Good job.
Thank you.
Congratulations. Good job. You're doing it.
Thanks,
You're
Biz.
Getting really good at this.
So, status update. I'm 35 weeks and a few days. I'm in full nesting mode. My friend who's also pregnant told me that her husband coined the term power nesting, which is like exactly what I feel like I'm doing right now, because I'm making lists of things and
list.
I'm realizing, because it's like getting towards the end and it's like it's the time where like, you know, everybody's telling me to start having the stuff ready. It's a little early for the stuff, but like if the baby came early, you'd be glad you had the stuff.
Yeah.
So like there's and I haven't done any of the stuff actually at all.
Sure.
So I need to start doing all the stuff. So I'm like I'm like pumped. I have like the energy for it right now. And I'm like, okay, this energy's gonna be gone in like 4 days.
Your baby's coming tomorrow.
Yeah. So I'm gonna do some stuff.
You can do some stuff.
Yeah.
That's good. I would like to say, in the grand scheme of all the things that I did not experience, that Teresa experienced, which is a lot. We experienced pregnancies and childbirth and the raising of children differently. I don't ever remember like a nesting thing.
No,
like, I don't ever like when people are like.
But that's kind of just how you are all the time.
That could be it. That could be it. That I'm always making like, lists. I'm nesting all
you're
the time.
Always
I'm
nesting.
Always
you're always
perpetually nesting.
I think so. I think that's what it is.
Maybe that's it.
Yeah.
You know, there was a time I had wanted to like with the Katie Bell wanted to start a blog, and by wanted to I mean hey, here's an idea I'll never see through and isn't worth seeing through, but was to start a website called Feminist.
Yes.
Right?
Ooh. Yes.
Somebody go do that. And just have me on for an interview.
I love how you're just like, I don't need this intellectual property.
Give it.
Just take my intellectual property.
But anywho. Anywho.
How are you?
I'm really tired, guys.
Yeah.
Like, I could have some we are.
Can I give you a little intro shout out here?
Sure.
Okay. Biz has been solo parenting for
10 days.
Okay. And meanwhile, we've been having like the storm of the century in Southern California. So it's been dumping buckets of rain almost every single day.
Yeah.
And that's 10 days is a long, long time to be on your own without your partner with your kids.
Yeah.
So you're doing an amazing job.
Thank you. I'm very tired. I have discovered that you would think that like as the years go by parenting, you would get better at lots of things. I've been doing this for 7 years, right? Two kids. But like this has been one of those like stretches where I can't get anything done.
Mm.
I cannot answer an email.
No.
I cannot. Today's show, guys, going to be what it is.
Oh, come on. It's going to
be
great.
It'll be fine. But I'm just like, I couldn't even like it's in my brain.
Yeah.
You should sit down and do this.
Yeah.
But usually my work times are like
right
in the morning and right after dinner because Stefan's home at those times.
Right.
And he hasn't been there.
Right.
And 8 o'clock. I just stop. I just shut down. But not what I was going to talk about. I'm very tired.
Okay.
What I was going to talk about was I have pulled Katie Bell from her swim classes.
And oh, really?
Here's the story about it.
Yeah.
So she did all right in a pool. I wouldn't sign anything officially, like on a permission slip that said
my kid can swim.
Though, you know, she doesn't need me in the pool with her.
Right.
Right. She, you know, as long as she can stand, she's fine. She can swim and breathe and do all that stuff.
Yeah.
But again, I wouldn't sign a permission slip.
Yeah.
So She's taken lessons at two different places over the last 4 years, you know, on and off. This year, I just, like, we had gone to a pool party at the beginning of school. She'd had a small incident where I was like, we need to move past this. Mm. We need to learn how to swim. So I signed her up for this new program that Ellis and I do, you know, on like one day a week. Mm-hmm. Ellis gets no real benefit out of this. Like, my 3-year-old's not swimming across the length of a pool. No. This is an activity for us to do.
It's water exposure, right. too.
But
it's
I like them. Yeah, yeah, water exposure. But I like the people. Anyway, I put Katie Bell in it, and she'd been doing okay until the instructor was asking her to, like, so she could swim almost the whole length of the pool, but then there's, like, this one spot where it goes from touchable to deep. Uh-huh. And the span of where she can touch to the wall that's deep is, like, 5 feet, 6 feet, not very far. Uh-huh. And she freezes up. She, like, psychologically.
Because it was deep?
Yeah. She knows that if she panics, she can't touch.
Grace is scared of the deep end at the pool, too. It's like, all of a sudden, if we're there, it's terrifying.
It's terrifying.
I don't know why.
And the teacher, the first time we got to that point, yeah. the teacher's pushing her because she knows she can swim.
Yeah.
And she's pushing her. And, like, I'm watching Katie Bell, like, her stress level rise. I can watch her starting to, like, the breathing, the, like, the tears that, like... The teacher gets her to do it, but it's horrible for her.
Yeah, it's awful.
It's awful for her. And the class is over, and she comes out of the pool. She says, I don't ever want to do this again.
Wow.
And I'm like, okay, well, we have to learn how to swim, but we ain't going to learn necessarily like this. But so we get in the car, and we talk about it, and I'm like, I appreciate that this is really stressful, but we have to learn how to swim. You have to get past the deep end at some point.
Yeah.
It's like your father and I need to feed you. We need to clothe you. We need to protect you. And one of those ways to protect you is you need to know how to swim. We live in a swimming area. Okay. Yeah. So we're going to have to do this. Now, that doesn't mean that this is the way we learn. Okay. It could be something else, but I'd like us to try one more time. Uh-huh. And she's like, okay. So Christmas break happens. Two weeks, the classes are canceled. We go back, same teacher, and she's all excited because the teacher had given me this advice of, oh, start at the deep end. When I have kids who have a problem, start at the deep end because you're going to a reward, right?
Yeah.
She's in the pool for like 3 minutes, and she's losing her shit, and I just walk over, and I say, come on, let's go.
Yeah.
You know, let's go. Get out of this. What I want to say is, fuck this shit.
Yeah.
Get out. Yeah. I was like, I don't fucking want to do this to you.
Yeah.
So we get in the car, and we say, all right, why don't we try a different teacher? Maybe it's just this teacher. And she's like, okay. And then it takes us like 2 weeks to get to that teacher. Uh-huh. And last night, I'm trying to prep her for going, and I see her stress and anxiety going back up. And I was like, fuck it. Uh-huh. Fuck it. I'm not fucking taking you to this fucking swim class where you're fucking miserable. I'm not going to, like, have you associate swimming with, like...
Trauma.
Yeah. Like, fuck you guys. Like, I'm so, like, tired, and I'm so over it, and I'm so, like, you are my perfect 7-year-old daughter, and this is not how we learn how to swim.
Yeah. Well, and it also sounds like she can swim.
She can swim fine, but I don't want her to fall into a deep end and panic and drown, because right now I don't think she'd kick in. They're not teaching her how to tread water. They're not teaching her a bunch of stuff that I think would be beneficial. They have a very specific
I know.
Program.
Because we're at the same place.
Yeah, you're at the same place. They have a specific program. Yeah. There are lots of other ways to learn how to swim, but I just was like, you know what? She's not going to grow up to be a sociopath or a quitter or anything like that if I fucking pull her out of this fucking class.
Yep.
Be warned, there might be a lot of fucks today, guys.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm really tired. So, on that note, let's say fuck it to winter.
Yeah. Please take a moment to remember, if you're friends of the hosts of One Bad Mother, you should assume that when we talk about other moms, we're talking about you.
If you are married to the host of One Bad Mother, we definitely are talking about you.
Nothing we say constitutes professional parenting advice.
Biz and Teresa's children are brilliant, lovely, and exceedingly extraordinary.
Nothing said on this podcast about them implies otherwise.
Teresa!
Yes?
Winter!
Yeah?
It is the time of our discontent. All right. I can't believe we've never really talked about this. And some of that reason is probably because we live in Southern California, where it's a little unfair to talk about the shit show that is winter.
Yeah, we're going to try to be self-aware about that today.
Very self-aware.
I still think we can talk about it because you still have the short days. You still have, like, the dark mornings. Mm-hmm. You still have weather that makes you feel deterred from going outside sometimes.
Yeah. There's also like school, which you would think would be great, except all the random fucking holidays that pop up. So it's a lot of schedule juggling.
Yes.
And also, we have lived in, I've lived in winter places, so I also know the whole, like, snow days suddenly come up. Right. Everything is shut down. You still have to go to work out in the snow.
Yep.
You don't get a snow day. Your kids, so there's a lot of stuff I think we could talk about in general about winter. And I kind of want to say, should we start with some positives? The only positive that can come to mind is when you said dark nights.
Uh-huh.
I was like, that actually is great for us because I have the 3-year-old and the 7-year-old. I can just trick them into going to bed.
Yeah, my kids don't do that.
And it's also dark in their room when it is time to go to bed.
Yeah.
Right? Because this bedtime that Ellis has, which is now 7-ish,
mm-hmm.
In a couple of months, it's going to be bright as day in that room at 7 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
I don't know how that's going to work.
My kids are 9:30 no matter what I do.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Have they started watching, like, ABC sitcoms at night?
That's actually not a bad idea.
I know, just like.
I don't know how we get to 9:30.
I don't know how you get to 9:30. I'm, like, about to start crying right now because I'm, like, by 8 o'clock, I'm, like, yeah, everybody. Be in bed right now.
I mean, I get them into bed by like 8:30.
Yeah, but they're
like
up,
8 or 8:30, but they're just not asleep until then.
Ugh. It's not what we're going to talk about.
No, we're not going to get into that. Yeah. But anyways, I do hear you that like for some kids,
some of that is
the darkness. Yeah, the early darkness does help.
The downside would be waking up and it's still really dark
and
you can't get them up and out to school.
Ugh.
So there's a pro and a con. Yeah.
Oh, God, waking up your 5-year-old who doesn't want to get out of bed for school and, like, forcing them to get up out of bed in the dark and get ready for school, it's the worst. And I'm sure it's way worse with even younger kids. Like, for people who have to, like, really get out early to be on time for work, it's so dark and your kids are you're just like, this is just raw. I mean, it hurts.
Well, from popular sitcoms, it's also horrible for teenagers, too, right? Like, they don't want to get out of bed.
Yeah, but my 5-year-old is like a teenager in the morning. She is. I cannot get Grace out of bed in the morning. It's so hard.
See, just like you're like, oh, my kids, I get no benefit from the nighttime.
Yeah.
I'm like, mine are up. 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
6 o'clock. They are up.
Well, that's because they went to bed early, I guess.
Nope. Not my kids. 9:30, still up at like 6 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
I'm like, it's dark outside. Your body should be telling you to stay asleep.
Yeah.
Okay. I would like to say that when winter comes,
mm-hmm.
I always feel like there's like a cycle I go through.
Mm-hmm.
I could do this. Winter's here.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so excited. Like, snow. Who doesn't love snow?
Right.
I fucking love snow. Let's go. Yeah. We got our boots. We got our winter gear. Bah, let's go. Because I'm sure it all still fits from last year.
Mm-hmm.
The only benefit to having several children is that you keep only having to buy one every year.
Yep.
And it just moves down the pipe. That's how people plan children, right?
Yeah.
And like everybody's out enjoying the snow and it's great. For us, everybody's out enjoying the rain, which we never get here. Like it's
splashing
all this great
puddles.
Stuff.
Yeah.
And then only after like a mere few days, it's like, no, it's too snowy. This is what I actually said this to Katie about. No, you can't play outside today. It's too rainy.
Yeah.
She's like, what? And I'm like, it's too rainy.
Yeah.
It's
before
dangerous.
It was just
it's dangerous.
Rainy, but now it's been raining for days.
She's
and like
why is it dangerous? It is. It's very windy.
The mud.
There's wind. Things could fall. We're not going outside today.
I'm over it.
Just like, because it's all the stuff that for a couple of days didn't feel like a big deal putting your children in.
Yeah.
Suddenly it's like, ugh, cram. Just cram your arm in that jacket and like the boots and then the hats. And then
everything's messy inside and
so
out.
Wet.
And where do you leave the stuff?
Yeah.
We don't have mud rooms
There's
in
no
California.
There's no mud rooms in California.
No,
I have a porch that is so covered in mud right now.
And you're lucky to have a porch.
Porch. I know. I'm
like,
lucky to have a porch.
We just come in and all the... Like, first 5 feet around our front door
just
is just wet and muddy and, like, covered in people's discarded boots and jackets.
Winter's also a good time to find out if there's something horribly wrong with the place that you live.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We've... you know what? Okay, so we've been in our house for like 4 years.
Yeah.
And this is the first time we've discovered multiple leaks.
Yeah, because it's torrentially raining.
We've been having a drought,
yeah.
And now it's like buckets of rain.
Yeah, I'm a little worried.
And so
worried,
we have all this water coming into our house. 4 years of that not being an issue.
Right.
I mean,
I started having some like, well, that light's delaying a little bit on my front porch. I wonder if there's rain. Yeah, like that's a fun thing about winter.
Yeah, and so I think a similar part of this is the excitement surrounding, like, we'll stay in and be cozy. Like, so at first being cozy is, like, so exciting. And you have the blankets and you do hot cocoa and everybody stays in their jammies until, like, 2 o'clock or whole day. Let's watch a movie. And then you quickly realize... that a movie only lasts 90 minutes.
And half of them don't even want to watch the whole thing. I got a kid who won't watch a movie.
Right.
So that's no fun.
And then you can't do the same thing the next day because everybody's going stir crazy.
Everybody.
So you basically get a few good hours of staying cozy and that being fun and cute.
Yeah, and then becomes eating your hand.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree. There's like, it's sort of like how I went into the beginning of summer, which I think I'm only now... Mm-hmm. Finally, emotionally over summer break. I gotta pen some activities. We're gonna have these games. We're gonna play. I've got crafts that we're gonna do. Like, we're gonna have these activities to get through these days, right?
Yeah.
Or the weekend part or the snow days, like break in case of a snow day, right? Like, all the shit. And then, like, you get there and you're so fried that it's like, okay, yeah, sure, you can watch one more show. Like, here's your normal, like, 1 to 2 show window.
Yeah.
And then, like, can we watch one more?
Yeah. Sure.
Can we watch another?
Sure.
All right. Can we watch one more? Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
But this one will be your last
really
one.
Really it. And then you guys play on your own. Like, and here's, and then you get into the, like, and this, some of this could be stemming from 10 days losing my mind.
But that's why this is a really good time for us to have this conversation.
Well, because that also happens in winter. Like, people leave and go on trips and do stuff. And, like, winter, you're just trapped, like, inside.
Yeah.
Like, as soon as you come home from school, you're trapped inside. And as soon as you, like, get up in the morning, you're still trapped inside. You're trapped inside all weekend. And there was, like, this moment yesterday. It's the weekend again, pouring down rain, hasn't stopped. And, like... they're playing really nicely in their room, which is great. And I walk in for just a split second, and I see that Ellis has markers. And I just walk out. Ellis is 3.
Yeah.
I know.
Is he, like, sitting at a table with
them? Yeah, sure. But, like, anything on that table, the wall, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
In my brain, I walk out, and I'm like, I've just left my 3-year-old in his room, in Katie Bell's room, with markers.
Yeah.
I know how this could wind up. Just, like, statistically, there's
like,
going
to be... as opposed to supervising.
Right. As opposed to supervising. Don't... because I was in there, I'd be like, don't... right.
I'm like, but you don't have time and energy for that.
There's some paper in there somewhere.
Yeah.
He'll figure it out. He might not draw on the wall or the carpet or his face. He comes out and there's this huge green circle on his forehead.
Yeah.
And I was like, huh, look at that. I literally was just like, huh, look at that. How'd you get that? And then I happened to look in his hand and there's a green circle in his hand. So he clearly had drawn it on his hand and stuck it on his forehead at some point. But one circle is still better than like the whole face.
Yeah.
Which is something we could be working up to.
Oh, yeah.
But like there's that kind of thing where you're like, we've all kind of lost our mind a little bit.
Yeah. I'm at the point where I just leave the glue and scissors and
available.
Markers out. They're just out and they're in constant use.
Yeah.
And they're always everywhere.
Yeah, everywhere.
And I'm willing to risk it. I'll clean it up afterwards.
Well, that's where this comes down to.
Yeah.
I'm going to be fucking cleaning up the fucking house.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Right.
Right now, 15 times a day, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I had some friends over last night to help me, like, over this last hump. And Ellis is, like, at his little play kitchen where there happened to be, like, a bucket of buttons.
Yeah.
And he's never done this before. He dumps them out on the counter and, like, with a whisk just starts going, like, whisk, I'm cooking, like, whatever. And buttons are flying everywhere.
Yeah.
And my friend kind of, like, looks down at it, and she was like, and before she can even say, I mean, she doesn't look, like, horrified or anything, but, you know, she's about to say, is that cool, right, you know?
Yeah.
Because she wants to be helpful. And I just say, is he occupied? She was like, yeah. I was like, that's all right. I'm going to have to clean up anyway.
Yeah.
I got to clean up anyway.
Yeah.
Here, Ellis, do you want some like oatmeal to go with that?
It's either that or something else.
Yeah, something else will be. Yeah. I'm just like, I think there's like this sort of willful acceptance that takes us over in times like this.
Yeah, no, I think that there's a couple things that are happening. Thing number one is what we've been talking about, which is that if you're inside with kids all day, like you just have to realize that you can't not make a mess. So that's happening.
Yeah.
And then like, can we get into like psychologically
what's
going on with us?
Yeah, you're gonna lose your temper.
Because there's also like, and I think it makes me think also back to, because my kids are, I don't ever have ideas and I don't ever suggest stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's fine because they have their own things that they come
that's
up
right.
with and they just do it. But like, I think back to, I mean, that's still hard in different ways, but like, I think back to when they were babies.
Yeah.
And that was like really dark days.
Yeah.
So like, I'm thinking about people also who have babies right now and
you really
how,
can't
like,
go anywhere.
Yeah. Or like, you can go somewhere, but like, just the energy involved.
Yeah.
Like, it's just so much work, or you're tired because you didn't sleep the night before or whatever. And like, the like darkness of like being up in the night and then the next day just like being in your house with your baby.
Well,
like,
it's really isolating. I mean, like, there's something about when, psychologically for us, I know that like what I go through is it becomes like the only contact I have is like online.
Yeah.
And then that puts me on my phone more. I find myself on my devices a lot more when I'm home all day and I'm stuck and we can't go anywhere.
Which is actually not necessarily a negative. Like, I understand that it negatively affects things also.
Right.
But like in the opposite
is
of that.
There's some
like,
connection.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there's like, I know for me, I really, this last run, I was like, I am dangerously on my phone too much. Like anyway, but at the same time, there's like a weird, again, your need for this connection. And then there's like, I just, the desire to have a few minutes by yourself becomes, you can never be satisfied, it feels for me.
Yeah.
Where like, that's why it's like, are you in there with markers? I don't care because I'm just going to stand in this kitchen and not talk to you guys.
Yeah, yeah.
And like I said, the yelling, like the temp, like losing your temper.
Yeah.
That, like when you're like, you're in there all day. You wouldn't spend that much time with anybody that you love.
I know.
But like your kids, there's this assumption that like,
that's normal.
That's normal to have to spend every single minute with them, and that like you're horrible if you don't want to. But like, and I mean, I love my children.
Of course you do.
I cannot be with them all day.
No.
But there you are with them.
Yeah.
All day in the winter, especially on, you know, like if your work is canceled and school is canceled and like, or it's just the weekend. The weekend can be just enough. It is sort of a hotbed for sort of mental up and down.
Do you think that like, I mean, I know in some places it just isn't, sometimes it isn't even like safe to go out in the winter. If you're like in the middle of a storm and you know,
well,
you have
ice.
Kids.
Or,
like you just can't go out that day. But I think like so much of what, just speaking for myself, what's going on for me is like, I just don't feel like it. Like, if my kids weren't there, I would be perfectly happy to stay in my house all day. Do you know what I mean?
Being like, cozy.
Yeah.
Having hot chocolate. Watching movies.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
Like, I could occupy myself in a variety of ways at home and enjoy that.
Yes.
Like, that's just me.
Yes.
And so the idea of, like, putting on all the clothes and like getting it together and like dealing with the rain and dealing with whatever, you know, whatever driving conditions. So, you know, you can have friends over. Sometimes that doesn't go great because sometimes it just like maximizes the like strain of everybody being inside all day.
Yeah.
So, I think like I'm wondering if it's like, it's actually like simpler than I really think, which is like, I need to, on those days, I just need to find a way to leave the house with my kids at some point in the day. If it's physically possible, it needs to, like, I feel like that is actually that's actually an antidote to this. Do you know what I mean?
No,
who knows what it is, you go out
the
and
store,
you get a muffin,
yeah,
or you go to the grocery store
the bakery,
for a little bit, or you
yeah.
go, you know, you do
a
an errand.
Store.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think I remember that first year with Katie Bell in New York, and there were several days where I was losing it.
Yeah.
And then I was like, go outside. Like this voice inside my head was like, go outside.
Yeah.
Whatever you
just
do.
Physically get your body out of your apartment.
And it was such a game changer. Mm-hmm. But it's true. Like even just going into the backyard, if you can, or, you know, into the car, you said to the bakery. You know, the other thing I forget, and then I remember again is music, putting on music that I really liked.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
or just something to kind of brighten it up.
Yeah.
Helps.
Totally.
Yeah. You know, like when you go to the store, get some flowers. That helps me sometimes
that's
to
nice.
Put up around the house.
Yeah.
Like that kind of helps.
Yeah, yeah, I like that.
And then just try to remember that one more hour of television really won't kill them.
Oh, my God, yes. By all means, do not stress out about television. Oh, my God. These are the days where it does not matter.
No.
If it helps you, do it.
One Bad Mother is supported in part by Spring. Spring is the digital shopping destination for over 1,500 brands for all your fashion, beauty, and lifestyle needs all in one place.
You guys, I am really into this. The stuff that's on there is from all different brands, from all different companies, and it's all compiled in one way as though, like, it's one store. So it makes it really easy to browse, and it was a really great shopping experience.
You can download the Spring app in the App Store or go to shopspring.com to start saving on all the latest fashion and lifestyle trends. You get free shipping and free returns on your Spring purchases with no spending minimums.
As an added bonus, use the code MOTHER at checkout to take 20% off your first purchase. See the website for more details.
That's shopspring.com or shop through the Spring app and use code MOTHER.
Hey, you know what it's time for? This week's Genius and Fails. This is the part of the show where we share our genius moment of the week, as well as our failures, and feel better about ourselves by hearing yours. You can share some of your own by calling 206-350-9485. That's 206-350-9485.
Genius fail time, Teresa. Genius me.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
I saw what you did.
Oh, my God.
I'm paying attention.
Wow.
You, Mom, are a genius.
Oh, my God. That's fucking genius.
I took Grace to the Women's March in L.A.
Woo!
Over the weekend. I'm 35 weeks pregnant, guys. I woke up that morning just being like, is this a good idea? Like, is it? I was genuinely questioning that. I've been having, like, some symphysis pain.
Yeah.
And I just thought, like, I don't know how crazy it is getting down there.
Right.
And I just wasn't sure. And I was definitely going on my own. And I was definitely going to do it with Grace, you know? And then, like, her like, stomach was bothering her a little bit. And I was like, oh, God. Like, you can't go down there and, like, not... like have her like need a restroom and like not be able to deal with that. But I was just like, I can't not do this today.
Yeah.
Like I just like had to do it.
Yeah.
And so I was like, we're just doing it. And I was excited and I'd been like talking it up to Grace for a few days.
Right.
And she was like adamantly against it. Like I think just because she's never been to a march before. And so she was like, you know, nervous and I don't like the crowds and I don't want to do this and blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, well, we're definitely doing
it.
But then she was like throwing a temper tantrum about it. And I was like, can I like, I can't physically drag her because I'm not in physical shape for that.
Sure.
But then I realized, had my genius moment, which was I asked her, do you want to document our experience today by being our photographer and taking all the pictures of the day? And immediately the tears, it was like instant. It was like immediately, okay. Like she was just instantly excited, totally ready to go, totally pumped. And we had the best day. Like it was such an amazing day.
Yeah.
We had so much fun. And it was such a cool experience. And I was so glad that it worked out.
I'm so glad about that.
Thank you.
Is so good. Good job. My genius is I've gotten through these 10 days. And that's it. I'm fucking tired.
So
and I wish I had something better than just having survived these days because
no.
the bar is really low.
No.
But
no.
like.
So good.
And I'm
you
not even.
It.
And here's the thing. The real genius is, and this is the years of practice and getting really good at this, is Stefan gets home late tonight after everybody's in bed. And I'm like. One of those things I've been working on for years and years is I'm not going to be resentful. Like, I don't feel the resentment I would have felt like 2 or 3 years ago, even though he's like working. I know this has been a really hard trip and like all this stuff, but like that still wouldn't have gotten, I still would have been bent out of shape.
Right.
When he walked in the door, I just can't control it. But I remember his last trip, I was really good about it. And this time again, I'm just like, no, this is just like what our life is right now. And that's what he had to do. And this is what I had to do. And he's going to come home and it's going to be fine. And I feel like mentally prepared for his return.
You're amazing.
I'm feeling
that's
good about
amazing.
It. Thank you.
Good job.
Thank you.
Hi, guys. I have a genius moment. I don't know where we got this idea. But when we, meaning my wife and I, go out to eat with our baby, she's currently 9 months old, we usually ask for the check when the food comes or occasionally when we order. Like, I'd like this and this, and can you bring the check as well? And then we pay it right away. And what that means is when the baby starts yelling or screaming and if we need to make a quick exit, we can just get up and go without waiting for the whole, you know, they bring you the check and then they take the credit card and they bring it back and all of that. I suspect it will be helpful in the future as well as she gets older and possibly has tantrums. She's a little young for that now. Yeah, thank you so much for such a fabulous show. Bye.
It's really good.
It's so easy.
It really
isn't
easy.
Why didn't we think of this before?
Yeah,
it's
I mean,
so
yeah,
good.
We've done the like ask for the check when we can sense it, like halfway through, but to like, or like once they've brought stuff.
Yeah.
But it's really smart to just do it all at the beginning. You're with a baby, you're not having seconds. There's no like extra drink coming.
No, no.
You're like, you're just.
You know what's happening.
You know what's happening.
Yeah.
You're out in the world. Yeah. With somebody who doesn't give a shit about what you want to
right.
do. So, like, pay that check, tip them high, and that way you can walk out the door. I just really think that's smart.
Yeah.
Good job. Failures.
Fail. You suck.
Fail me, Teresa.
I have just been, like, just perpetually late for absolutely everything. Like, oddly enough, I was on time today for recording, which was totally unhelpful because we have terrible weather right
now. But I was late,
so you were late
as a result.
But, I've just been, it's been so hard. And it's also, it's so much that it's at the point where I'm telling myself the mental story now that, like, I can't be on time. I physically can't do it.
Right.
I don't know what's happening because, I mean, it's always been a little bit of a struggle for me to be, like, exactly on time.
Right.
But, like, now it's just, I'm just always late, even if I'm trying really hard to not be late. It's just, that's where I'm at right now. It's not enjoyable.
You're just barely a person.
Yep.
You're failing miserably.
Well, you took it to a little, that's a little farther. Barely a person is, that's like.
You're just, what did we say it? A piece of machinery who's got a very important job. What did we say last week? I'm sorry.
Thank you.
For my taking it too far. And for the fact that you can't, that you're late.
Yeah.
My temper has been really bad. I like really have been, you know, I like over these last couple of weeks, I've just been like getting to my yelling way faster than I like. And I don't even like yelling at the kids. And like, you know, Kay Bell and I have this whole thing where she's like, please don't yell at me. And I'm like, you know, like, and I'm like, I get it. You know, and our rule is if I have to ask you 3 times after the 3rd time, you know, that's where the yell's going to come. That means, the yelling, why I'm yelling is because you're clearly not listening.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so if you don't want me to yell, do it the first time I ask, right? But with Ellis, like, I mean, it's so quick. Like, they're, like, the other night, where it was just too far for me was that, like, we're at the table, we're having dinner, and he's, like, you know, grabbing on her, and she says to stop. And it's not even that big a deal. She's just saying stop, and he's not. I'm like, stop touching your sister. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't. And it's, like, the very next thing out of my mouth is, like, fucking mommy dearest yelling, you know, where it was, like, you stop touching your sister. I mean, it's just so like loud and like angry. And, you know, his face goes to this like weird angry face. Like he kind of like pulls in and he makes like this angry face. And I that face was just this like, oh my God, does he not understand why I'm yelling this loud?
Yeah.
I'm like, why what he's doing is making me this angry this fast?
Yeah.
This may be why he is snapping so fast at his frustrations. Because I know a lot of that's just being 3 years old, but it is really hard for me not to, like, tie in how quick I go to, like, yelling to, like, if he doesn't want to do something, he goes from nothing to, like, yelling really fast. Uh-huh. Like, one day I heard him say, get out of my room, right? Uh-huh. And it sounded like, I was like, oh my God, I think he's like imitating me when I'm like, get out of
like
this thing. And I just was like, I just feel like shit about it. I'm like really, really trying to be conscious of it.
You are. I can tell how conscious you are.
No, to the point where
maybe
debilitate me for weeks. But like, anyway, I just fucking hate it.
That really
it
sucks.
Always makes me feel like I am failing when I do that.
I totally hear you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It's all right.
Hi, One Bad Mother. I'm calling with a fail. I am a relatively new resident of Minnesota, and I'm from Seattle, so I wasn't used to getting my kid ready for winter weather at school. And I packed up her backpack with her mittens and her hat and her scarf and her snow pants on her first day of snow. And I sent her off to kindergarten, and I was so proud of myself that she was ready to go so she could play on the playground and be nice and warm and toasty. And I went to pick her up from school afterwards, and turns out I had put my snow pants in her backpack. So she went to school with everything except for her snow pants and played on the playground wearing just some leggings in 36-degree weather. And I'm mom of the year. Thanks, guys. You're doing a great job.
Yeah.
I would never, ever do
Teresa
something like
never.
That. Nothing,
none of us
nothing
could possibly.
Similar to that has ever happened to me recently.
Nothing, Well, didn't we have a call once where the woman also just forgot shoes? Like, you know, like she was like running back and forth and like she had like a different car, different bag or something. And then she gets to school and then she has no shoes for her kid. Because the kid like didn't want to leave the house. And like Ellis is going through that phase too right now where he's like, no shoes. And
I definitely have brought my kid to school with no shoes.
Yeah,
a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, that's right. And then, just, you know what? Are you dressed? Do you have pants on? Do you have pants on?
Is something covering
your upper
body?
Lower body. You'll be fine. That's why they got all that extra stuff at the school. It's fine.
You're
suck. Failing at moving to a cold winter area.
Yeah.
You are the greatest mom I've ever known. I love you. I love you. When I have a problem, I call you on the phone. I love you, I love you.
One Bad Mother is supported in part by Blue Apron. Not all ingredients are created equal. Fresh, high-quality ingredients make a real difference, and so it's important to know where your food comes from.
You guys have heard us talk about Blue Apron before. Blue Apron is the only reason I've ever cooked. It's a great service. They send really good, really fresh, delicious ingredients. They make the cooking process really easy, and yet you are actually cooking.
So for less than $10 per person per meal, Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals.
Check out this week's menu and get your first 3 meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/badmother.
That's blueapron.com/badmother. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. Teresa.
Yes.
Let's call a parent.
Great.
Woohoo! This week, we are calling author and illustrator Jenny Jekyll about her new graphic novel, Spot 12, 5 months in the Neonatal ICU. Welcome to the show, Jenny.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thank you so much for being on. Before we get into the graphic novel, we would like to ask you what we always ask our guest, which is who lives in your house?
Yes. I live with my partner, Chris, and our non-binary child, Asa, who is almost 12 years old and is still very uncivilized.
That's awesome. Can I totally ask a random invasive question?
Yes.
Okay, good. Because last week we had on a guest from Gender Spectrum
right.
who was helping me define a lot of like questions that I had
yeah.
before I stuck my foot in my mouth out in the world. And so do you use a pronoun to refer to Asa at all? Because in writing, I've seen you have referred a pronoun. You said, I think there's like a bio of you somewhere that says Elizabeth,
yes.
your daughter. So do you
yes.
do you use pronouns or descriptors?
Yeah, well, previously Asa was, I called Asa my daughter and we used she.
Mm-hmm.
But for the last 2 years, Asa has identified as gender neutral and now prefers gender neutral pronouns. So so we're using like they and them to refer to Asa instead of she and her.
Cool.
Cool.
So thank you for asking that.
Well, thank you for answering that.
Yeah,
not
thank you.
Hanging up the phone on me.
No, please, any questions, the more invasive, the better.
Oh, good. Well, good. Let's get into the really horrible, dark times of the first 5 months of Asa's life.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's do. So before we get into the book itself, I think what would be helpful for everybody is for you just to give us a quick sort of breakdown of Asa coming into the world and why you guys
yes.
were in the ICU.
Yes. Asa was born with a malformed esophagus and trachea. So that meant that right away we were launched into this completely medical world. It went on for 5 months in the NICU, and then once we were home, we still had quite a lot to deal with. But at first, there were lots of surgeries, there were procedures, there were tests. It was this very eventful 5 months. And then by the time we went home, Asa had a tracheostomy, which is, for those who don't know, it's a surgery to make a hole in the front of the throat that connects the outside with the trachea. And then there's a plastic tube put in there, and that assists breathing. And Asa also had a gastrostomy tube, which is a surgically made hole from the outside right into the stomach to assist with feeding. And both of those things, and especially in combination, required a lot of very intense care and gave rise to a lot of stress and crisis and
kind of fun
stuff.
And then,
yeah.
you know, like, I, you know, and how quickly did the, you know, depression set in? I mean, like, because that's not, you got to learn how to change diapers. You know what I mean? Like, these are your brand new parents.
Yes.
And for most people, there's a stress of, like, how do I do diapers? How do I help my baby sleep? How do I feed my baby? Is my baby going to, you know, take breast milk or not breast milk or, like, whatever? There's, like,
yeah.
all these, like, things that, everybody kind of goes through if you wind up getting a child this way, if you have the
yeah.
child. And then to be like, I have to now feed and help my child breathe through tubing. And I mean, like stuff
yes.
that is a lot scarier than I'm scared I'm going to pinch my baby's penis when I'm putting on a diaper
yeah.
or whatever.
Yeah,
like it's like too tight. Yeah.
The stakes were, you know, life and death right away. And I mean, really on an emotional level, it felt to us like, as soon as Asa was born, a bomb went off, and when the dust settled, we were on this other planet
yeah.
where it was full of machinery and strangers and noises and new language and all kinds of critical stuff going on. So so to be a first-time parent of a newborn in that setting, as you say, many challenges.
Yeah.
So you asked about the depression. Because I did end up having a very deep postpartum depression. I
yeah.
didn't start out with that. Like once Asa was born, we were thrown into this crisis and it was terrifying and upsetting. And I was having those kind of emotional reactions, which does not instantly mean depression. It's just like you are reacting naturally
well, yeah.
to a situation. But what happened to me was that since it was 5 months long, that over time, I really went downhill. like the stress and the traumas really accumulated and sent me down. So like if you can imagine one of the worst days you've ever had in your life and then followed by one of the worst nights yeah. that you've had in your life and then repeat that 150 days and nights in a row, you can get a sense of how it really can drive you down.
Well, there's also, I think, this sense of like, again, you have a baby or you're pregnant and you yes. have this assumption of this is what's going to happen after I have yeah. this baby. And, yeah. you know, I'm going to go home. And even for people who just go home, the disruption yeah. can be so extreme that
yes.
you have, you know, I have spoken about my postpartum depression. It's very common. It is something that is easily happens after you
yes,
have a baby. And then,
so.
But you're not at your home. I mean, you do have, like, on top of that, all of this other stuff happening. And you guys weren't even in your country.
Yes.
You guys were somewhere
and luckily,
else.
Luckily, we weren't in our country.
Yeah.
Well, yes and no, because on the one hand, well, Asa was born in Canada, yeah. and Chris and I are American. And thanks to the medical system here, everything was taken care of. We didn't have to pay for anything.
Oh, my God.
And this is millions of dollars
yeah.
and long-term as well, because once we were out of the hospital, we still were dealing with quite a lot. So we were very lucky. On the other hand, we had only been here about a year and a half, and we didn't know that many people. We didn't have a very established support system.
Yeah.
But suddenly we needed a lot of support.
Yeah, and so your mom came.
My mom came, yes.
This is my favorite.
Yes.
I have to tell you, it is one of the darkest moments in the book, but it is also one of my favorite moments in the book because I'm a little
yes.
fucked up. But there's your mom, who's a therapist, right? Like
yes.
who helps people deal with emotional stress.
Yes.
She's been there helping you, like, take care of stuff. But from the book, it seems like not necessarily your mental health. More of like it's sort of like my father-in-law
right.
is a surgeon, like an ER doctor, but he never could deal with like his kids when they were cut. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, exactly.
Right? Like that
it's
relationship
exactly like that.
Was different. And there's a scene in the book where you have finally you can see it. It's just you can see it building. You do such a wonderful job of describing this building depression, and it's not just depression, this like, but it is part of like what postpartum is, that like you feel like
yeah.
you're just really losing your mind. And,
yep.
and you're building it and building, you finally get to this point and you just lose it in front of your mom. And
yep.
I mean like lose it. And
I lost it more than I ever lost
yeah.
it ever in my life.
Yeah.
At
I mean,
that particular moment. Yes.
Yeah. And she, and her response was, she kind of lost it. Like, she was like,
yes.
don't do this. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, and it was, and which I think, as you describe it in the book, was almost more like, what the fuck? Like, what am I supposed to do?
There's some irony there.
Yeah. Like, so
yeah.
how did you guys, because that's like a whole nother relationship level happening during this. And I think a lot of people who are in these situations, they get support. And it's so nice to have support.
Yes.
But it's also difficult to deal with support sometimes. And it's
absolutely.
Yeah. Can you talk about that some?
Yeah. Well, my mom came from California to help us. She threw herself into helping us in all kinds of ways, which was incredibly helpful for us. And then, but of course, like, we're in a crisis situation, and like many mothers and daughters, my mom and I have a pretty complicated history. So the tensions between us that, you know, had been there forever kind of exploded once we were in this crisis situation. So, in that particular moment, we had an interaction in it was the communal kitchen of the on-site residence where Chris and I were staying. It's a residence at the hospital for parents of kids in the NICU. And my mom and I had sort of a clash over something tiny. And then I just, because of it had been months of the buildup of all the stress and trauma of the entire situation and the tension between her and I lost it. I turned around, there was a Coke machine in front of me when I turned around, and I just attacked the Coke machine. I mean, I hit it as hard as I could, and then I dropped to the ground, and I screamed bloody murder. Yeah. I actually screamed in a public place. I attacked a Coke machine, and I screamed in a public place. And it was after that point that I realized that I was... I mean, I knew I was not doing well mentally prior to that, but after that, there was no way that I could say, you know, I've got to do everything I can to get my shit together, including go on medication. But I will say, just, you know, I think we're going to get to some advice kind of material later, but if you ever lose it and you attack something physically... And you attack an inanimate object, A+.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Know what I mean? Yeah.
No, it's true. That really is true. Like, that's really good. And I think that's also, like, what's compelling about the story is how long it took you to get to a place to ask for help for yourself. Because, and that's, again, if that's really true of, like, all
women.
All women.
Yes.
Well, okay, let's talk about the writing of the novel. So I guess the question is, you get through this process, and when did you decide that you, or when and why, did you decide you wanted to do the graphic novel, and how long did it take before you decided to do it, before you actually did it?
Yeah, well, it was something I started thinking about right away because I am a comics artist and writer and illustrator and stuff. So, and because the situation was so incredibly bizarre, like on one level it was so devastating to go through. On another level, it was kind of like Kafka, you know, weird as hell. And it's this whole, seemed like this whole other world. So I started thinking about kind of the theatrics of that. But what happened was once we left the hospital, we had a lot to deal with. Once we were home, we still had this, you know, all these high stakes special medical needs going on, and so there was all of that. But having left the hospital, that whole 5 months really hung over me like a black cloud, and I needed somewhere to put that black cloud or some way to deal with it. So the process of making the book helped me to remember what happened, put things in order, reimagine them, process them, and then ultimately put this experience in a separate container.
Yeah.
And just having it in a separate container outside of just my psyche was very therapeutic for me.
Yeah, I can imagine. It's especially, I guess, given the fact that you illustrate it as well. I think it's like an added. It's, you know, not only are you verbally, like, removing this from you, you get to put it in images that really allow you to express what you were feeling during that, and you can feel it throughout the whole thing. I mean,
exactly. And the way that I chose to illustrate it. Is a fairly non-literal way. Like, I don't draw human beings, I draw animals.
Yeah.
And I wanted to be able to express with the images the interior reality, like the emotional reality of the experience.
Yeah.
So if I could draw a particular doctor, you know, in any shape that I wanted, that really helped me express that. And, like, one of the things, back to my mom a little bit, one of the things that has gotten in the way of my mom and I getting along is that even though we have a lot in common, we're also very different. Like, she's this very energetic extrovert, and I'm like a very tired introvert. And so I would experience her personality as pretty overwhelming. So I modeled her character on the Tasmanian devil.
Yeah.
Do you remember from the old cartoon?
Yeah.
So, like I'd be trying to have a tiny little quiet moment with Asa, and then, like, the Taz would come in, you know. And then my dad makes a small appearance in the book.
Yeah.
He wasn't there for that much time, but so he's not in the book that much. But I modeled his character on Kermit the Frog because he's a very Kermit-y kind of guy. And if you can imagine, once upon a time, the Tasmanian devil being married to Kermit the Frog, you can imagine it didn't last very long, but did produce me, so.
Well, okay, let's talk about, first of all, I just want to say, how is Asa doing these days? People, I'm sure, will be like, what?
Yes. So Asa's doing great. As I mentioned, Asa's almost 12, so we're really getting into adolescence, which is nerve-wracking for me. I definitely need advice on that. But Asa's doing great. Asa's happy and healthy and excited about life and into lots of stuff and has been now, it's been almost a year since they had the surgery to close the tracheostomy.
Wow.
So we had this tube for a very long time, very big feature of our life, which is a kind of a whole other story.
Yeah.
But once that was surgically repaired and healed, the one thing that Asa couldn't do before was learn to swim. So we spent the whole summer swimming. So that was pretty thrilling.
Oh, that's awesome. That's incredible. That's amazing. So that's so good. That was so good. All right. Well, let's talk about, you know, we're not big advice givers on this show. However, we like to phrase it as what can we learn from people's experiences?
Totally.
Or just steal from people. I was wondering, knowing all of your experience, what would you offer to people who find themselves suddenly in the situation to survive this?
I think every situation is different.
Right.
So I can only really speak for myself, but that said, there's so much we need that's universal. So hopefully this will be useful.
Yeah.
So the first thing is all about support, is that parents with kids in hospital need a lot of support. For me, I needed help with basics, like I needed food, I needed help with laundry. I needed someone to stay with Asa while I had to do other things. For one thing I had to do was be on the breast pump literally 8 hours a day at first.
Wow.
For all the time that took, you know, and whatever else I needed to do. I wanted to be with Asa as much as possible, and we wanted to have someone there with Asa because... The kids are not getting attention on a human level. They're getting medical attention, but that's what the parents do. So, I really needed emotional support. Like I needed to talk to someone every day. That would have been best.
Yeah.
And I needed to take a walk every day, like get outside and have some exercise and fresh air and just a little touch of normalcy.
Yeah.
So that was the first thing. Like it's all about support. And then the second thing, being a parent in the NICU or by extension the hospital, the first and foremost, this is your baby. This is not the hospital's baby. You know, the primary identity of this child is not their patient. It's your baby.
Mm.
So trust your instincts. Like if you want to cover the baby's head, cover the baby's head. if you can be involved in helping out with the procedures. Some procedures need the baby to be held still or all kinds of things. Just get in there and do it as much as possible so that you can be there and you can soothe your child, you can talk to your child, sing to your child, and physically touch them. And this is, I think this is a particular one for women, is don't be afraid to ruffle the feathers of the people in authority. It's that, you know, advocate for what you think is best and don't be afraid to piss people off. I mean, you know, you want to work with people as diplomatically as possible. They're there to help your child, you know, but don't be afraid to piss them off a little bit.
Yeah.
The third thing was looking out for signs of postpartum depression.
Mm.
And that's, you know, for the NICU. Like, I didn't have a history of depression prior to Asa being born, so I didn't know the signs. And I know, like I said earlier, you know, I was reacting to all these events in what I thought were a natural way, which I was, but then over time, some things that I noticed about, you know, what were signs of the depression for me, should I say some of those things or?
Sure, yeah, please.
Oh, okay. So one of those signs was like I would break down and I would cry and I would have no relief from the crying. So whereas normally if I'm upset to the point of crying and I cry, then afterwards I feel calmer, I feel relieved, I can think more clearly and I can move into an emotional state that's happier. But when I was really sunk in that depression, that I felt exactly the same after crying as I did before. And I just felt very bad all the time, like there was no emotional variation. I also found that I had a very hard time functioning just with normal things. There were things I could not do that were very normal, like wash dishes. Like we had a sink in our room and it was piled up with dirty dishes and I couldn't get up and wash them.
Yeah.
Also like very relentless dark thoughts.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the Coke machine attack.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. So for, you know, for myself, had I known, and what I did do is I began taking antidepressants, and that was helpful. And so had I known in advance, I would have started medication a lot sooner.
Yeah.
I think it would have helped me just be a little more sane.
I think a little more is the phrasing there, because that is an insane situation to be in.
Yeah, like you're never going to feel like, this is just a piece of cake.
Yeah, this is great.
Yeah,
I feel great.
Me too.
Well, Jenny, thank you so much for joining us. We're going to link everybody up to the book. Here's the thing, guys. I know it feels like a heavy book, but it's beautiful and it's touching. And I think it also, for anyone who hasn't had an experience like this, it is a really good and sort of kind way to step into somebody else's shoes who may be mm-hmm. in a situation like this.
Yeah.
I also think it's really helpful for people who may be finding themselves in a situation like this to read this. It sort of embraces that whole, if you want something to make you feel like you are not the only person going through this, this book
exactly.
will do this yeah. for you.
Yeah, I feel like that's a big reason for the book to be out there, is these experiences can be so extremely isolating.
Yeah.
And it's really helpful to read about someone whose experience mirrors yours.
Yeah.
Because you're not the only one, and it's helpful.
Yeah, it really is. So, again, we'll link everybody up to that. Thank you so much, and I'm glad to hear everything is going so well.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
Absolutely. We'll talk soon. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Brainwaves send a message, pick up the phone. When you like call.
Hi, I'm comedian Emily Heller.
And I'm cartoonist Lisa Hannawalt.
And we're the hosts of Baby Geniuses.
Do you want to learn weird new facts?
Do you like hearing successful creative women talk about their poop?
Do you want the scoop on Martha Stewart's pony?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, our show is for you.
We interview people like Paul F. Tompkins,
Kristen Shaw,
Michael Che,
and more. So check us out on Maximum Fun.
And let us mess up your brain.
Yes, please.
Baby Geniuses, we know everything. Baby Geniuses, tell us something we don't know.
Mugs, shirts, stickers, patches, tanks, and more are yours for the purchasing at MaxFunStore.com. Hey, you already love the podcasts, so why not take this to the next level and outfit your home and bod with our merch? MaxFunStore.com. Because if you have to wear a shirt, it should be one of ours.
Wow, yeah. That was nice.
Yeah.
It was nice. And like, you know what? It I will forever not be able to get the image of the breakdown with her mother out of my head,
uh-huh.
and just like how relatable that
yeah,
moment is
absolutely.
For anybody who's, you know, been going through like a tough situation and is getting help.
Totally.
You know, sometimes we don't want help, but we need help.
Well, and sometimes you do just need the help,
yeah.
But that's still not fun.
Yeah, it's still not
fun. You know,
fun.
Like,
yeah.
Sometimes there isn't anything to really do about it.
Right.
It's just you still need the help, and that may still not be fun.
Yeah,
but
not great.
That's happening, and that's...
That is part of
that's
it.
That's what needs to happen.
Speaking of things that need to happen.
Yeah.
I'm getting so good at these, guys. Let's listen to a mom have a breakdown.
Hey, One Bed Mother. This is a rant slash fail. Woke up New Year's Day, you know, it's going to make a better year. Everything, we're going to do things right. And my daughter has head lice. And so we spent the first day of 2017 washing everything in the house and combing everybody's hair and spraying everything and putting stuffed animals in plastic bags. And it just... Fuck it. Fuck. This is not what I wanted to be doing. With my, like, last day of winter break, and I don't even know if I can send her back to kindergarten tomorrow. Like,
don't!
Because now she has bugs, and what the hell? Thank you for listening, and thank you for the show. Bye.
Wow. Oh, I was like, what's going to happen? What's coming? What's coming in the call? Like, listening.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's New Year's morning. What's happening? Oh, my God. Don't go into labor,
sorry,
Teresa.
I had a weird thing. Something happened.
It's going to be a bumpy road, guys, for the next couple of weeks. Anyway, I just was like, what's going to happen? What's coming? And then she's like, lice. And I was like, oh.
Yeah.
I don't even want to talk about it too much.
No.
In case it jinxes all of us. It's like The Ring. If you hear it,
yeah.
For the movie The Ring, you hear
yeah.
it. Within 3 days, lice is coming for
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
Well, I got to tell you, look, that is rant worthy.
Yeah.
That is a super shitty way to start the new year.
It is.
Actually, you could spin it and be like, look how clean my house is for the new year. Look how clean the house
like
is
that.
And how clean we are. And I really wanted to get rid of half that shit anyway.
Yeah.
So, sorry, we have to get rid of it.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't actually have to, but you could. I'm just saying you could do some deep purging.
Yeah. Yeah.
Could be a thing.
Plus, it's still a new year.
Still a new year. Long
game. That hasn't changed.
Yeah, we got a lot
yeah.
of year to go.
Getting this out of the way.
Yes, get the life. You're getting really good at this.
You are getting
really
good at this.
Really good
for
at
real.
This. You are. You are doing a very good job. Teresa,
yes.
What did we learn today? We learned that seasons come, seasons go. Our children will always be here, as will the ups and downs and possible monotony of parenting.
Yep.
Pick the season. We could probably do this show about any season, to be really honest, and be like, spring is great. We're allergic to everything. Summer is the best. It's too fucking hot. Fall is lovely. No, fall's good.
Fall like, is really busy.
Yeah,
that's
fall
what I don't
is
like
busy.
About fall.
Fall is busy. And winter is like you get holiday, you get Christmas, that or some other winter holiday.
Yeah.
And we all know how that turns out sometimes.
Yep.
Then you've just got months and months of nature doing its thing, keeping us in. We all learned that we're doing a really good job.
Yeah.
With that.
Yeah.
We have also learned that sometimes things are not how we plan in terms of when we have our children, and that Jenny and all families who are going through an experience like this, whatever that experience may be, are doing a really remarkable job.
Yeah. Can I also add that before the show, you pointed out, you know, we often talk
yeah.
on this show about how, you know, everybody is living out their own personal hell in one way or another.
You got and a biter like, or a disability.
Yeah,
you know what
like,
I mean?
Like, everybody's, like, we all have shit, and, like, there's no reason to sit around comparing our shit to
right.
other people's shit.
True.
But there are some scenarios. You were saying this to
yeah.
me before the show, and I just think it's so real. Like, there are some scenarios that really stand out as a special kind of nightmare.
Yeah.
And I think it's just, it's worth acknowledging.
Yes.
Like,
that is
what
true.
A specially good job
yeah.
you parents are doing when you're in those nightmares.
That is absolutely correct. And for those who have biters. No, it is true. So, everybody, you're doing a really good job.
Yeah, you guys are.
Really, you are. Teresa?
Yes.
You're doing a really good job.
Thanks, Biz. So are you.
Thank you. And we will talk to you guys next week.
Bye.
I got to low down mama blues. I got to low down mama blues. Got to low down mama blues. Low down mama blues. Got to low down mama blues. Got to low down mama blues. You know that right.
We'd like to thank Max Fun, Lindsay Pavlis, our engineer, our husbands Stefan Lawrence and Jesse Thorne, our perfect children who provide us with inspiration to say all these horrible things, and of course, you, our listeners. To find out more about the songs you heard on today's podcast and more about the show, please go to MaximumFun.org.
One Bad Mother is a member of the Maximum Fun family of podcasts. To support the show, visit MaximumFun.org and click on Donate.
Do you have a genius or fail moment you'd like to share on the show? Then leave us a message at 206-350-9485. Full-on rage-induced rants are also welcome.
Well, Daddy may be fussing by, got low down mama blues. Oh, said Daddy may be fussing by, got low down mama blues.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.